for this Holy Maundy Thursday, the service of corporate confession and absolution, service of the word, service of Holy Communion, and stripping at the altar in preparation for Good Friday tomorrow, 9 a.m., 12 noon, G service at 3 o'clock, and tenebrae at 7:30. Both this evening and Good Friday, we leave the sanctuary in complete silence to return on Good Friday in honor of the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please turn to the back of the bulletin. We begin with the explanation of the Triduum. The most solemn and joyful celebration of the Christian calendar is the period from Maundy Thursday through Holy Saturday. Worship services on these days or evenings are traditionally considered to be part of a single extended liturgical event called the Triduum, Latin for 3 days. There is no benediction till Holy Saturday. The first part of the Triduum begins in the evening of Maundy Thursday, also called Holy Thursday, during which Christians recall the event that took place the night Jesus was betrayed. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke concentrate on the institution of the Lord's Supper. The Gospel of John focuses instead on the Lord's final teachings to his disciples, dramatically punctuated by his washing of their feet. The word maundy is derived from the Latin phrase mandatum novum, meaning new commandment. It refers to the Lord's words to his apostles as recorded in John, "A new command I give you, love one another." The true climax of Maundy Thursday worship is the celebration of the Lord's Supper. This night is the anniversary of the sacrament and therefore a memorable event. After the sacrament has ended, the stripping of the altar takes place. The ministers and several assistants remove all vessels, crosses, books, candles, linens, paraments, banners, and other decorations from the altar and chancel area. This ancient ritual is a powerful and dramatic reenactment of the Lord's humiliation at the hands of the Roman soldiers. As the altar is being stripped, Psalm 22, containing clear prophecies of Christ's suffering, is chanted. The altar, left bare or adorned only with black paraments, is transformed from the communion table of Maundy Thursday into the tombstone slab of Good Friday. Page 290, Service of Corporate Confession and Absolution. Please stand. The Triduum begins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I will go to the altar of God.
To God, my exceeding joy.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
You may be seated. Beloved in the Lord, it is our intention to receive the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, in which he strengthens our faith by giving us his body to eat and his blood to drink. Therefore, it is proper that we diligently examine ourselves, as St. Paul urges us to do, for this holy sacrament has been instituted for the special comfort of those who are troubled because of their sin and who humbly confess their sins, fear God's wrath, and hunger and thirst for righteousness. But when we examine our hearts and consciences, we find nothing in us but sin and death, from which we are incapable of delivering ourselves. Therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ has had mercy on us. For our benefit, he became man, so that he might fulfill for us the whole will and law of God, and to deliver us, took upon himself our sin and a punishment we deserve. So that we may more confidently believe this and be strengthened in the faith and in holy living, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you." It is as if he said, "I became man, and all that I do and suffer is for your good. As a pledge of this, I give you my body to eat." In the same way, also he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Again, it is as if he said, "I have had mercy on you by taking into myself all your iniquities. I give myself into death, shedding my blood to obtain grace and forgiveness of sins, and to comfort and establish the New Testament, which gives forgiveness and everlasting salvation. As a pledge of this, I give you my blood to drink. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup, confidently believing this word and promise of Christ, dwells in Christ and Christ in him, and has eternal life. We should also do this in remembrance of him, showing his death, that he was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. Giving him our most heartfelt thanks, we take up our cross and follow him, and according to his commandment, love one another as he has loved us. For we are all one bread and one body, even as we are all partakers of this one bread and drink from the one cup. For just as the one cup is filled with wine of many grapes, one bread made from countless grains, so also we, being many, are one body in Christ. Because of him we love one another, not only in word, but in deed and in truth. May the Almighty and merciful God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, accomplish this in us.
Amen.
Having heard the word of God, let us confess our sins to him, imploring him for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Stand.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
God be merciful to you, and strengthen your faith.
Amen.
Do you believe that the forgiveness I speak is not my forgiveness, but God's?
Yes.
Let it be done for you as you believe. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Go in peace.
Amen.
Let us pray. O Lord, in this wondrous sacrament, you have left us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Service of the Word, you may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for Holy Thursday is from Exodus chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat, and you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire. With unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We chant Psalm 116, starting at verse 12, ending at verse 19, responsively, whole verse by whole.
What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me?
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the verse.
Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that his Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking the towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I'm doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my head, my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet, and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If then I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, you will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
We sing the hymn of the day, hymn 617. You may be seated.
Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In our gospel reading today, we see Jesus preparing to celebrate the last legitimate Passover, celebrating the Mosaic Law, the old priesthood, the deliverance from Egypt, the kingdom, and the temple worship. Jesus prepares this by an act of service. He takes out his outer garments and ties a towel around his waist, which he uses to dry the feet of his disciples. Here, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the very Ancient of Days, is washing the feet of those beneath him in majesty, power, and glory. He, the Supreme Being, acts in service to creatures whom he loves but deserve only wrath. Jesus, after hearing the disciples bicker about who will be the greatest, as recorded in Luke 22, responds to this contention by washing their feet. He, Jesus, who is greater than all, engaging in the act of a household slave. Thus, the Apostle Paul, or the Apostle John, brings out the dramatic intensity of this hour and its importance in the history of salvation, making the action of Jesus under the circumstances stand out all the more prominently. For such an action he did while knowing that he would be betrayed by Judas. He arose from the sofa upon which he was reclining for the meal, and he took off his outer garments, since they would hinder him in the work that he intended to perform. He took a long linen cloth or towel and girded himself with it, tying it around his waist after the manner of a servant performing this work. For his objective was to perform the foot washing. There was no slave present, and so the office of servant would have naturally fallen on the humblest of Jesus' little circle. But these men, far from feeling humility at this time, were quarreling as to who should be counted as the greatest among them, as recorded and attested to by Luke's account of this same scene in chapter 22. The lesson was to be impressive and have a long-lasting effect. And it had, according to John, who noted every detail most carefully. Jesus puts water into the basin, which was commonly used for this purpose, and then very deliberately began to wash the feet of his disciples and to dry them with the towel which was tied around his waist. Jesus did this to show what the disciples, and for that matter, every disciple after them, are expected to do. If the Ancient of Days, the Almighty himself, would stoop so low as to put his holy hands to dirty feet, then you also ought to wash one another's feet. For a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Here, Jesus gives no qualifiers. If only they are your friends and allies, then be of such service to them. He merely says, "Blessed are you if you do them." Jesus does this act of servitude, even while knowing one of his beloved children would betray him. Jesus himself provides no qualifiers, friend or foe. He has come to serve and bring salvation to all who would repent and believe. The disciples had at least enough reason to understand that Jesus was above them all. And so, they sat around in silent stupefaction at what their Lord was doing. Peter illustrates this perfectly when he said, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Neither Peter nor the other disciples understand the magnitude and meaning of this action of Jesus. And Jesus knows this. He says, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward, you will understand." Indeed, they will understand in part a few verses later when Jesus partially explains what this means now. The answer to the contention of who is the greatest. Yet the full meaning will not be illuminated until Pentecost. Still, Peter is not satisfied. He asserts, "You shall never wash my feet." Peter, as always, shows his love for his Lord in the most peculiar of ways. Yet Jesus doubles down, impressing upon him the necessity of what Jesus is doing. "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." This clearly points to some connection with Christ, not conditioned by the mere external washing. The act of Jesus was symbolical, and it represented a close union and communion between Christ and those who are properly His. The lesson is this: only those who Christ cleans and washes with His salvific work can have any part with Christ. His salvific work, namely being word and sacrament. This washing, which is the cleansing of sin and guilt, making right and holy that which was crooked and unclean, comes to us also in the sacrament of the altar. As we have read in our epistle readings, Paul describes the institution of the Lord's Supper. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same way also He took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes.'" So, in all actuality, the washing of the disciples' feet in communion are not two separate things per se. Communion is part of this continual washing that the Lord Jesus provides us. For when we take in the very lifeblood and body of righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, we are substantially affected. This is no symbol or mere image. We are consuming the very substance of the Son of the Father. We are eating and drinking the deity, Jesus, the Ancient of Days, the King of Ages. And if sinners could touch only His clothing and be healed, like that woman with the unceasing flow, who was healed when she touched the mere hem of His cloak, think how much more are we cleansed when we touch not just an article of His clothing, but actually take in His very essence, His body and His blood under the bread and wine. And so, even today, this very day, our Lord comes to wash us, to cleanse us, to give us His cleanness, His purity, His righteousness, so that we might be His own and live under Him in His kingdom that He wins for us. That victory which we celebrate tomorrow and its culmination this coming Sunday. Indeed, the institution was made Monday, Thursday, but it was established and verified on Good Friday and Easter. As you can see, then, the washing that Jesus gives isn't merely the washing of dirt from the body, obviously, but the washing away of guilt and sin. And the washing comes in a myriad of ways, by hearing the gospel after confession, as we did here when we started the divine service, by our baptismal washing that occurs daily, and by Christ's body, and by Christ's blood. Wherever the word is, there is Christ, washing the most stained parts of us, our feet, which carry us, soiled with sin and guilt. And Christ still washes us today, still today, acts as a servant to His children. And so we are called in acts of service to others, whether they be friend or foe, as our faithful response to such love and mercy. And lastly, Jesus does all this in preparation of what is about to come. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing this, rose from supper and began washing the disciples' feet. Jesus knew Judas was about to betray Him, and still washed His feet. Shortly after His act of servitude to those beneath Him in every conceivable way, Jesus tells Judas, "What you are going to do, do quickly." And Judas immediately left to betray Him. Now here's the spectacular and slightly confusing thing. When Judas set himself upon the path to deliver the Christ to death, Jesus says, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him. Now. Now that Jesus' fate is in motion, facing inevitable and unimaginable pain, suffering, and shameful death, now Jesus is glorified. Indeed, in the cross that he is about to be nailed to viciously, we see the power, glory, love, and majesty of God radiate. The world does not see it. Our flesh does not like it. And yet, here it is. The glorious theology of the cross. God defeats death through death. Christ the servant is about to become Christ the victorious. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. As we gather the offerings, please take the attendance pads on the end of the pews, fill out your name, and put it in the basket in the narthex as you depart. We now gather the offerings.
Service Sacrament, page 194, we stand. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. Salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who accomplished the salvation of mankind by the tree of the cross, that where death arose, their life also might rise again, and that the serpent who overcame by the tree of the garden might likewise by the tree of the cross be overcome. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is our kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith and body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Body of Christ.
Take and eat the body of Christ.
blood of Christ.
They could drink the blood of Christ.
The blood of Christ shed for you.
Aren't you rejoicing?
Let us pray. O God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The stripping of the altar. The communion vessels are removed from the altar. The altar is stripped, and the chancel is cleared in preparation for the solemn services of Good Friday. We now chant Psalm 24 in its entirety in the front of the hymnal, omitting the Gloria, Psalm 22. You may be seated.